I have an incredible privilege to invite and welcome someone to this pulpit who many of you know, and I know there's some new visitors here that won't know. Pastor Hercules from Stellenbosch, he's in charge of ministry at Shofar Church, an incredibly busy man, seeing as we have some 25 churches out there. He's an amazingly anointed man, and we're really looking forward to what the Lord has laid on his heart this morning to share with us. So Hercules, if you won't mind coming up.
Thanks, Yanni. I feel out of my depth after that performance now. It was awesome. Yeah. I wish my wife could have been here. Eh? She would have loved it. Okay, let's just quickly stand and just take the person next to you's hand and let's pray together. Father, this morning, in the name of Jesus, we come and consecrate this time unto you, Father. We celebrate you being here with us. Father, you say that where two or more are gathered in your name, there you will be also. And Father, we know therefore, Jesus, that you are walking here in this building and that you are communing with each one of us. And this morning, in the name of Jesus, we pray that you will just manifest yourself, Father God, to us, that we will experience you more. Father God, that we will experience, Father God, your agenda, your heart's desires for this world. Thank you that we can be in this world, not because we are of this world, but Father God, because you want to make an impact through us and that your name be glorified. And this morning we want to glorify you. We want to ask you, Jesus, that you will truly work through us as empty vessels, Father God, that doesn't know a lot, but Father, at least are willing to proclaim your kingdom till Jesus comes. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You can have a seat. It's a great privilege to be here. It's just awesome to see how things change in Franschhoek. Every time I come here and I drive through town, it feels like a whole new town. Eh? The hotel is gone. Pick and Pay is gone there in the high street, so I don't know what's going on. The only thing that's standing is the Franschhoek Gallery. It was awesome to see that it's still standing. Rosita, you guys are very brave. Yeah, but it's just a great privilege. My roots really are in this town. I really love what God is doing in this church. And always when I come here, it's such a blessing. So thank you for the privilege of being here. We're going to spend some time with the leaders afterwards. And yeah, it's just awesome to see what God is doing all over the body of Christ. And I know that Shofar is not the only body. Christ has a big body, which we are just part of. As we go around, we've been every weekend now for about 10 weeks. We're just going from church to church to church to some HQ visits in which we then just impart into the churches and help them to grow. And this will also happen at Franschhoek. And we'll spend some time this week just discussing how things are going and so that we can basically support you guys from HQ side, which is the headquarters. In Stellenbosch, and we will spend some time with Yanni and his wife, especially just to hear what is the concerns on their hearts, so that we can support them in that regard. It's awesome to see what God is doing all over the world. If you look at the other day, I was just watching Sky News after the looting in Britain, and just to see where the whole world is heading. And I want to speak about a few things this morning. About that, but Mark chapter 14 will give us some direction. So please, if you can turn with me. If you've got your Bible here, please turn to Mark chapter 14, in which I will spend some time in this morning. And being in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at the table, a woman came having an alabaster flask of very costly oil of spikenard. Then she broke the flask and poured it on his head, But there were some who were indignant among themselves and said, why was this fragrant oil wasted? Why was this fragrant oil wasted? For it might have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor. And they criticized her sharply. But Jesus said, let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always, and whenever you wish, you may do them good. But me you do not have always. She has done what she could. She has come beforehand to anoint my body for burial. Assuredly I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her. I just quickly want to explain to you the historical context of what is happening here at the leper's house. Is this thing as short as it is? The historical context of this moment where Jesus is spending some time in the leper's house after healing him. A beautiful moment where Jesus, you know, prayed for this man and him and his disciples at this stage. Jesus being very vulnerable. It was the time just before Jesus went to the cross. It was about 3 days beforehand. And as he was sitting with his disciples, this woman came and she anointed Jesus. You must just remember that at this time, it was also just in Hebrew culture, a culture for every family to bring a little lamb, which they, without blemish, made sure for 3 days that it was without blemish. They brought it into Jerusalem, and then it was offered for the sins of the people. But in this time, it was also a time where Jesus was scrutinized for who he was. He went from the one leader to the other, being asked some questions. Why do you say you're the Son of God? Seeing if there's any sin within him, all the things that they spoke about Jesus, was that valid? And he was questioned to such an extent where at the end Pontius Pilate had to recognize this man are without blemish. And on that third hour of the day, which is in the Hebrew context, the third hour is the ninth hour for us, 9 o'clock in the morning. And that morning, 9 o'clock, Jesus went to the cross. And at the 12th hour, which was the afternoon at 3 o'clock, Jesus shouted out, Tetelestai, it is finished. It was quite significant because at this stage also we know that Caiaphas, as he was busy scrutinizing Jesus, as he was busy asking some questions, and Jesus said, I am the Son of God, as you say. He basically tore his cloak, which meant that for the high priest, he disqualified himself for service. So that year, there was no priest, no high priest to do the offering. There was no high priest that could take the little lambs that came into Jerusalem and offer them unto God for a sacrifice. We also know that at the 12th hour, when Jesus went to the cross, the veil was torn and also the altar was broken, which meant that no lambs went to be slaughtered because Jesus was the lamb. Jesus was the high priest in the place of Caiaphas so that Jesus could significantly take the place for us to receive a direct communication with God. It was significant to Jesus because at this stage, a few days just before he hung on the cross, he spent some final, you know, words with his disciples. Because just after this, he went out and they had communion together. Jesus was sitting with his disciples, and as Mary came and she anointed Jesus with the alabaster flask, we also know that it was very precious. Because it was worth about 12 months of wages. It was costly. But not just that. It was the only thing that a woman could take into her marriage.
that was expected of her to take into marriage to anoint her husband, her future husband, or her husband then to be, to say, you are the head of the house. I bless you. So that was for her, her life. At this stage, being a young woman, single, with the expectation to really go into marriage someday, she gave up everything that she had because of the significance of the time that she spent with Jesus Christ. But unfortunately, this time when Jesus was busy explaining himself to his disciples, she was the only one that understood the agenda of Jesus. And we know it because even just before this moment that they had in this leper's house, you know, a guy like Peter went to Jesus and he said, none such thing will happen to you, Jesus. Jesus was preparing their hearts and saying, listen, I will hang on the cross. I will go through a lot of scrutiny. I will go through a lot of pain. But just remember, just keep focused. Because I am doing the Father's will. And still, Peter came to Jesus and he said, Jesus, none such thing will happen while I'm around. I'll make sure of it. I'll be the one to protect you. I'll cut off some ears. I'll do whatever is necessary. But Jesus, you will be safe. And Jesus said to him, get behind me, Satan. You are not on my agenda. You don't understand the things of God. And that's why at this moment, Jesus was spending some time with this woman. And it was so precious to him because at this vulnerable time when he knew he had to go through a lot of pain, he said, here's one woman that understands the pain that I'll be going through because it will be nothing in comparison to what God the Father is doing in my life right now and how significant it is into the historical context of me hanging on the cross so that each one of you that are included in this house now with this leper that is healed, you will receive eternal freedom. And you know what? So many times we miss God's agenda and we miss where God is at and we start to rationalize things for ourselves and try to figure out, you know, what's going on around us. I was sitting the other day around the table with a guy, what's his Stadsinstriekbeplanner? Town planner. We were sitting around the table and we were discussing the little property that we are on there at Oudemolen. Just what will we do in the future? Will we start to develop the property or should we just go about and sell the place and you know make sure to get a place more closer to town? And as we were busy discussing it, he said to us, you know what? I just want to say that this piece of property is much, you know, more worth than having a church on it. We need to develop this for the benefit of the town. And that is fine if you don't understand the agenda of Jesus. And I want to say, I'm not saying that that is His will, but what I want to say is that it's so important that we can hear what is His mind. What is the things that He wants to do in this time for such a historical, you know, significant time, which all Christians must be very, very, very awake. Because Jesus is busy preparing all of our hearts to understand what is on His heart. You know, within our lives, we so often find ourselves playing chess on a Monopoly game, trying to live the rules of the world and the things that we get taught in the world on God's little agenda for us. And I found myself so often trying to implement the things that the world offers, and then I find that it's not working. Because if I look at this little projector, I watch it from the back, so significant that it can hang there and we switch all around, to play the words, even if it's upside down, we can see it the right way around. Because somebody took the time to read the instructions. Thanks, David. Somebody took the time to go and read the instructions to know that there's a lot of functions that this thing can do. Because the person that made it for certain things to be done through this projector. But if I take this projector and try to go in the woods at night and use it as a torch, it's going to be not just a waste, but it's going to break. Because it's not made to be a torch. It must be kept still, must be kept in place so it can focus. But there's some instructions necessary for this thing to be as effective as it is. And we so often forget that God made us for a certain reason and a certain purpose with some instructions that went with us. Do you have a Bible here? Or are you the iPod? God gave us the instructions. It's just so sad that we don't know that by living the instructions, we get to be safe. It's not about doing sin and about having this condemnation in our lives of not getting to God's standard. It's about when we live the rules that God has set out for us. Even the ungodly can live a prosperous life when they live by these principles. Because they understand that the maker of the universe has made us into his image. And he knows what is best for us. He knows that, you know, as we fulfill our life's calling and get onto his agenda, because we are made to fulfill his agenda, we are going to be prosperous. We're going to experience the fullness of Christ within us, but also be a blessing to the world out there. You know, it's really, for me, so evident that we as humans, when we are left to our own devices, that we are failing. Go and look at what's happening in London. And look what's happening all over the world at this stage. It's so sad what's happening in Libya. You know, and it's, I don't want to even talk about the agenda behind it. But just all over the world, the chaos and the lawlessness that prevails when people are left to their own devices, doing their own thing, being hardened in heart. And, you know, even when I toured as a student a lot in Europe, but it was so evident to me that when you try to approach somebody to speak to them about the Word of God, they are so closed up because their hearts are so hardened toward the gospel. And it's so evident that they'd rather choose to live according to their own devices. We look at Israel and we find ourselves seeing the same pattern happening all over the Old Testament, that whenever Israel lived according to the Word of God and the presence of God in their lives, they prospered. But as soon as they start to rebel against God, things went wrong. And that, you know, desire for man to be in control of life is an old story. It started with Adam and his sons. And after their sons, so many other. And you read about it all through the Word of God, because in our lives we find a pendulum. In Stellenbosch, I had this aunt, which was such a fancy and grand aunt. She had this piano. On the piano, she had a metronome. Eh? Is that the right name? A thing that went from the one side to the other with a rhythm. Tick, tock, tick, tock. Are you with me this morning? It was, for me, very fancy. I think these days they probably use some electronic stuff. Eh? But very fancy. A pendulum swinging from one side to the other. And in our lives, we find ourselves in a place where control is the bottom of this self. and being in control of our own lives. Because if we can be in control, we can control destiny. We can make sure to have ourselves at a place where we can control our everyday life and not go through the pain and the sorrow that we are going through. And that's why the one side of the pendulum, and usually maybe I should just say this morning, the things that so evidently shows that control is money. Because if we have a lot of money, we can decide whatever we want to do. And the other thing is the one of relationships. Where if I can be in control of the person next to me, and I can, you know, at work or in church or wherever, be in control and wield my authority over other people, I can decide what I want to do and how I'm going to do it. And they must do it according to the ways that I want to have them done. Are you with me this morning? And that is the old desire of the flesh. And this pendulum in our lives, which the bottom is self-control or control and selfishness, the one side is the one of arrogance. I'm so in control of my life, nobody can tell me nothing. I'll decide what to do, when to do it, and how to do it. And the other side of the pendulum is the one where we find ourselves in fear. I'm so sorry that I live, because, you know, it just feels like God can never use me. You know, I just feel like a failure in everything that I do. God, I'm so fearful for everything that might happen with my life. Are you with me this morning? And this pendulum swings in our lives because of self-control, the bottom, the base. I want to say to you this morning, even through all of this, I see that, you know, what we find ourselves in the church in a thing which we call dualism, where we live church on the one side and business on the other, everyday life, the real thing. And I've seen it so many times in the Church of God. I call it the professional fee syndrome. Where people, when they get involved in the kingdom, as soon as they start to use their professional capacity, I just had it the other day, person doing some architectural work for us, and it was a committee, and we were just so thankful because we are in the same boat. We are busy doing some kingdom stuff, and you know, we're so excited about what the Lord is doing, busy planning what we are going to do on the property. And then I got the invoice. And I was so surprised, not because the person has a professional service to offer, but just the fact that we clearly didn't understand one another. Because there was a professional side that kicked in some or other time when we were working together for the kingdom that I didn't agree to. And I just want to say to you this morning, that does not mean that you cannot do professional work to the church. I'm not saying that this morning. I'm just saying that we so often find ourselves thinking that the world is out there and Jesus... is at church on a Sunday. But part of my everyday life, I'm not busy changing the world because Jesus is living in me. I'm busy playing Jesus on a Sunday and in small group, but certainly not in that place that I'm working at. That is my professional capacity. And all of us are confronted with exactly the same thing. I went to the hairdresser the other day. Now I was sitting there. A lot of women in the hairdressers. And as the woman was busy talking to me, she was complaining about her back. Now, I was sitting there thinking, oh Lord, please don't expect me to pray for this woman now. This would just be a complete embarrassment because Jesus, I just want to remind you that there's a lot of women in this place, and after leaving, I know what's going to happen. I know as I just put my foot out of this door, they'll start to talk about this guy, you know, that's so excited about Jesus. And so as I was sitting there, I'm sweating all over my... Okay, is it only the pastor that happens to go through stuff like this? Are the Holy Spirit convicting you from time to time to do some silly stuff for Jesus? And you just feel like, that happens on a Sunday. At the altar call, I'll go pray for somebody afterwards to get healed. I'll ask her to come to church on Sunday. And as I was going through all of this reasoning, the Holy Spirit was just saying one thing. This woman is suffering. Are you going to pray for her? And I laid my hand on her and I said, can I pray for you? And as I laid my hand on, I prayed very quickly to make sure that all the other women in the hairdressers didn't hear that I'm busy praying. To be surprised the next time when I went back and she said, after you prayed for me, God really blessed me. You know, we don't understand the significance of Jesus within us. Because being on His agenda, understanding the things that's on His heart, we cannot play Monopoly on a chess game. We must play according to the rules that Jesus has given us. We must play according to His agenda, moving in and through us every day. Not one day, but today, because faith is today. As I walk out of this building and I go into the streets, God wants to be relevant through me. Because He chose to be glorified through His people. And therefore, I want to say to you this morning, there's a place of total surrender where Mary went through. As she was anointing Jesus, she was so blessed because everything just made sense when Jesus was around her. Because if Jesus says He's going to hang on the cross, I better anoint Him for His burial. I'll better make sure to be on His agenda because otherwise there's no reason for me living. The second thing that I want to mention to you is the one where Jesus said, she has done a beautiful thing unto me. Unto me. And you know, as she anticipated the death of Jesus, anointed Him just before He went to the cross, it was also a time when Jesus came into Jerusalem where the palm branches were thrown before Him as He rode on a donkey. We must remember that those same people that shouted out, Hosanna, Hosanna, to Jesus the King, was probably the people that hang Him just a few days after that. She understood what was on the heart of Jesus. But at the meanwhile, she had a sister, Martha, which was also the sister of Lazarus, the guy who Jesus raised from the dead, which was very good friends of Jesus. But at this stage, Martha was a little bit confused about, you know, why could her sister sit at the feet of Jesus while she has to work so hard in the kitchen, preparing some food and stuff for the people. And Jesus rebuked her because there was something that Jesus picked up in her heart. And He said, Mary has done something beautiful to me because she's understanding what's on my heart. But Martha, there's a problem. The problem is not about you working in the kitchen because that's a noble thing to do. The problem is your problem with Mary. Are you with me this morning? My problem is with you, Martha. not understanding that if you do the things that's on my heart, you don't have to be in competition with Mary. Because you'll understand that I've called you to be in the kitchen and to do such a servant-hearted thing toward me and my people. And so often I find that within Christian circles and within the Church of Christ, that we are busy competing with one another when we are following the agenda of Jesus Christ. Because we're so afraid that somebody else might be more on the agenda than I am. I want to say to you, you know what? There's something around that jealousy and envy that suffocates the kingdom of God, that hinders us to really come to fulfillment as the body, as the bride of Christ. As I say this morning, as I tell it unto you, I want to just tell you that it's happening in the body, and Jesus is busy restoring His body, because church against church does the same. We're not allowing one another to really fulfill what God has done, because we're in such a competition that we are missing that Jesus is on our agenda. Doesn't matter if you have a nice S sign on your building or not. He's just asking you the same thing that He's asking Peter. Peter, are you with me or against me? Because if you're with me, follow my agenda. And just have at least appreciation for those who are following my agenda. Are you with me this morning? Because one thing that I've learned is we judge others according to their actions and ourselves according to our intentions. We judge others according to their actions, but ourselves according to our intentions. I didn't mean to do so. If somebody confronts us, you know, you really hurt me. No, but I didn't mean to offend you. But if they do something wrong, we are the first to say, yeah, but you did this and this and this against me. I just want to say to you, you know what? The body of Christ and the body in a whole should get to the place of the kind of love which gives one another the benefit of the doubt. To love one another to such an extent where we allow one another to flourish. Where the bride of Christ comes to its whole when it allows Jesus to be the head and to determine what is actually the things that we must live according to. Not the subcultures that we live. It's sad to see in South Africa what's happening through the whole Malema thing. You know, because Malema is here to stay. Even if Malema, you know, cannot move in the political arena, I can tell you that there's a lot of people that needs resources, clothing, food, and if the Church of Christ is not going to awake and see what's happening, we're going to lose the battle. And for me, it's so evident that Christ is expecting His church to stand up, because injustice like this cannot go on. God really wants us to be the solution to the world. And I want to just say this morning, that if Jesus comes back, I think He's going to be cross with a lot of us. Just because Jesus would have done it in a different way. And I love Christ and I'm following Him and I know that I'm doing so many things wrong that I can repent of, you know, to Him. But I also know that, you know, it's so important that you and I surrender ourselves and know that, yes, it's not about the condemnation. It's not about feeling bad. It's about what are you doing at this moment to be Christ to the nations. What are you doing at this moment to make a difference in Franschhoek to such an extent where we are not just having nice Sunday meetings, but really impacting a society that needs Jesus desperately? Because if you have Jesus and you work according to the Word of God and the instructions that He's giving you, you are supposed to be a blessing. Blessed to be a blessing. And I hear too many complaints and excuses of Christians, you know, having thousands of reasons why they are not fulfilling what God wants them to fulfill. Having some problems with the projector and the worship team that's not in rhythm because they don't have a metronome. Or you guys weren't beat, eh? Having problems with all kinds of stuff rather than to be on the agenda of Jesus Christ, being Jesus to the nations. And you know what? We can have Sunday after Sunday after Sunday in this church, but still be irrelevant to the world that so desperately need Him. And this is what Jesus is saying to His disciples. I'm offended by the kind of way in which you are not committing yourselves to my agenda. So Peter, just rather get beyond me till you get it right. Because it's fine for the unsaved, they don't know better. But for you, Peter, you've walked with me 3 years and you still don't understand what's on my heart. Then I know that when Jesus sat with His disciples, maybe I should just, in defense of Peter, looks like I'm fighting with him this morning, read out of 2 Peter 1 verse 14. Knowing that shortly I must put off my tent, just as our Lord Jesus Christ showed me. The same Peter was the one that could say at the end of his life, listen, it's time for me to go back to Jesus. I've done everything that He asked me to do. I must put off my tent. It's time for me to go back to Jesus because what I could do, I've done here on earth. This is probably the most matured statement that you could make in the whole Bible. You know, I would just love to know exactly what Christ wants for my life. Because if I can, then I know that I'll be fulfilling the destiny that He has for me. And I'll know when to stop and go back to Him. This is mature, people. Paul said the same thing. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy, and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Knowing that there's a race, there's a beginning and an end. I like what John Bevere says. He says that in his book, Living for Eternity, or what is it? He says that we will not be judged according to the things that we do on earth, but rather to the things that we will be have been asked to do. Are you with me this morning? We will not be judged one day standing before Jesus. We will not be judged according to the things that we did, but according to the things that He has asked us to do. You know what? The master will ask the servant a few times, listen, do this task for me. After a few times, when the servant does not do what the master is asking him, he will not even fight with him anymore. He'll just ask him not again. And I find, even in my own life, many a times when I struggle to hear God and I'm struggling with God and just saying, God, just make yourself known to me. And God says to me, what was the last thing that I've asked you? And I tried to think, God, when was the last God moment that I had with you? I said, oh God, I missed you in that one. I want to finish my race with joy. I want to make sure that the things that you ask me is done right. Not the things that I think, you know, and the church so often think that if we are busy and have a buzz, then things are happening. No, Jesus, the things that you ask me to do, the things that's on your agenda. Because if I can do that, Jesus, I'm satisfied. And this is exactly where we find Peter, because at this stage, even Paul was standing on the edge of Jerusalem. And he said to his friends, I'm going into Jerusalem. And they said, no. We want to tell you that if you go, we've seen a few visions about Paul going into custody and Paul having some hardship. We want to tell you, don't go into Jerusalem. And he said to them, I almost said now, get behind me, Satan. He said to his friends, I don't want to listen to what you're saying because I want to live according to the agenda of Christ. I'm going into Jerusalem. And we know that those exact things happened to Paul, but to the extension of Christ and his kingdom. Because from there he went to Rome, where he impacted the world forever. But he was on the agenda of Christ. In the natural, it was playing Monopoly on a chess game. But for Paul, it was clear, I'm playing according to the rules of Christ. I'm doing whatever he is expecting me to do. And sometimes it's crazy. Sometimes it's not looking good. Now I want to say to you, Christ Church, make sure to be on the agenda of Christ, because sometimes it will look crazy. Your leaders will give you instructions that just look so foolish. But still, if Christ has said it, make sure to follow him. I was sitting in my hostel room. When was it? About 97. Now I remember sitting there. I had this habit and still do that when I must study, I make sure to study through the night for a few nights before my exams. That's not right. If there's some students here, please do not follow my example. But I remember one evening, about, I think it's 1 or 2-ish in the morning, I was sitting in my room then, Ace Fisher in Stellenbosch, and the next moment I heard people walking all around the building. I looked out, at that stage, I would not say not saved, but I was definitely not as focused as I should have been. I was looking out and I saw these shofar people. Anton Myberg, those of you that still know Anton, him and his friends with a cross on their shoulders and anointing oil in the other hand, busy anointing the building. 2 o'clock in the evening. Crazy. It's crazy. Let me tell you, if you're a student and some other guys, you are just looking for party and, you know, nice student life, and other guys are walking around the building the whole evening while you, you know, are trying to sleep. It's just crazy. But it was those same things that brought me closer to Christ. Because I knew that they had something about obedience to Christ that I did not have. Yes, they are crazy. But certainly you must obey to be as crazy. You know what? I want to tell you that when you follow Jesus and his agenda, don't expect to live a normal life. Mary certainly didn't. All the well-known people were sitting in the room while Jesus had some supper with his friends and those who got healed. And she decided now's the moment to just throw a lot of oil on Jesus' head and anoint him for his burial. This sounds like a very nice gesture, but in the midst of a nice lunch, it's not supposed to happen. I don't know if you guys recently tried a stunt like that with your friends while visiting your home. It's crazy. But if you're on the agenda of Jesus, you understand exactly what's on his. The last thing that I want to mention, what she has done will also be told. She was really focusing on the eternal purposes of God for her life. And she eternalized herself in the Word of God forever, that the Word says she'll be remembered as long as the gospel is preached. But you know what happened? And I want to just quickly ask you, if you've got the Word of God here with you, just turn with me to that last verse, which I every time forget to put on the projector and on my... do you have Mark chapter 14, which I read in the beginning? Is that a kosher Bible? It's so red. Mark chapter 14. Those of you with Bibles, please go with me to chapter 14, verse 10, which I did not read in the beginning. Let's go back to verse 9. I tell you the truth. Wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. And then the next verse. Then Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went to the chief priests to betray Jesus to them. They were delighted to hear this and promised to give him money, so he watched for an opportunity to hand him in. Okay, this is probably the most powerful piece of this piece of scripture. Because for 3 years, Judas Iscariot was walking all around Jesus. For 3 years, he was spending time in the midst of the disciples, seeing miracles busy happening, seeing the glory of God being portrayed to the world, and still he did not believe. For 3 years, he was busy questioning this Jesus and what this Jesus, you know, is doing on earth, being God or not God. And then his heart was exposed. Because Mary exposed it for him. Mary showed him what it cost you if you really are obedient to Christ, if your heart is at the right place. And Judas immediately discovered, listen, I'd rather go to the real people. I'd rather go to the people with, you know, some stature in society. I'll rather go to the people that make sense to society, which determines what society would like on the monopoly board, rather than this Jesus, which looks to me a little bit flaky, but now he's going down. So while he's going down, I'll make sure to take my chances. And for 3 years, within his heart, he was busy questioning, is Jesus really what he's supposed to be? I want to read you a piece of scripture which shows this so evidently. John chapter 12, verse 4 to 6. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son who would betray him, said, why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the money box and used to take what was put in it. Are you with me? For 3 years, he did not have the fear of God. He did not understand godly things. And yet, within all of this, Judas was exposed when Mary went to really be obedient to Christ. I want to say to you, on the one hand, just remember, if you want to be obedient to Christ, you're going to expose a few people, and they're going to be very cross with you. Because serving Jesus is not always favorable among all men. But on the other side, I want to tell you this morning. For Judas, this was a revelation because his heart was exposed. But you know what? Christ gave him so many opportunities because he loves us. Because he knows that within our hearts, you know, each one of us needs to be saved. And Jesus knew, let me tell you, Jesus knew about Judas being in the money box for 3 years, but he gave him enough chance. Judas, just do your thing. This is an old story, but I can tell you this morning, if I read through all of the Bible, the pendulum is swinging all the time. If you look at the prodigal son, there was a rebellious son that was so arrogant that only knew his own ways. Father, I want to just have my portion so that I can go and show you guys what to do in the city. I can be the person that I'm supposed to be. And then you've got the other brother, the Martha. The one sitting at home with fear in his heart always that I'm not good enough, I'm not making it, I will never make it, I will never be successful. And then there's a son that comes back with the heart of the worshipper, the Mary heart, the one that bows his knee to the Father in saying, Father, I'm so sorry I've missed you. Because your agenda stays the best. Your instructions just stays the best. It's just awesome to glorify you. It's just awesome to recognize that your ways are the best. That the pendulum in my life must stay at the place of humility. Of sorting out the base of the pendulum. That selfishness will not work for me. That being in control of my life is a rumor because I will never be in control. While living on this earth, the only way in which I can be in control of my life is what you said this morning, is to die to self and to recognize that Christ, I'm nothing without you. I am nothing without you. I need you so desperately. I need you to guide me, to show me the way, because when I throw the oil over the head of Jesus, then nothing more satisfying. It satisfies me. God, I love you. Do you know what? I want us to quickly just stand this morning. Father, in the name of Jesus, we stand before you this morning and know, Father God, that we so often are playing, Father, chess on a monopoly game, trying to make this world and the worldly ways to work for us rather than to have your heart. I want to pray for this morning, O God, that you will reveal your heart's desire, your agenda to each one of us. As we stand in front of you this morning, Father, that your purposes will unfold in and through our lives. That, Father God, we will expose that which is not from you, but, O God, that we will show your love to the nations. I want to pray, Father, that this morning, where we are standing with our one foot, Father, in the real world, while, Father God, the truth is impacting our hearts, we ask that the truth will prevail. That we will be able, Father God, to go into this world and say, by faith, we will stand in Christ and we will not be shaken. Because Jesus, your body is relevant to us. And oh God, this morning we stand before you and we ask you, Jesus, that you will put out some memorial stones in our lives, Father, where we will be able to testify that God, we are fragile. We need you. Franz Hoek need you. In Jesus' name. While we all pray, I want us to just keep our eyes closed and just pray to God, because this is precious time. I don't want you to to go yet, I want to really ask you that you will connect with Jesus. Because that is why you came here this morning. Let's just pray. Oh, oh, Rabasanda Barabasurubushutukianabalabasukurubukushukutukianaba. Oh, if you can't pray in the spirit this morning, just pray in a known tongue. Just pray to God. Oh, Ramasalabasurubushunubu. Oh, Nandiyalabakurubushikitikianama Ramasukurubushukutukianaba. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Oh, Ramasalabasutitianaba. Oh, Ramasana Barabasukutukianama. Oh, Father God, we pray in Jesus' name that you will just impact our hearts at this moment, in Jesus' name. Oh, if you are here this morning and you know that, you know, your heart, maybe you are so in control of your life that this morning you just need to recognize again, Jesus, I'm fragile. Jesus, I need you so desperately. I cannot live without you. Maybe you feel this morning you are living in such fear, you feel like never being at the place of satisfaction or even at the place where you can fulfill life's calling. You feel like never being worthy. Now I want you to raise your hand just where you stand this morning. Just recognize to Jesus this morning. There's a few hands. There's a few hands. Oh, Father God, we thank you for your presence in this place. If you are here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you don't know Him as your personal Savior where He is really relevant and He has a relationship with you, then I want you to raise your hand as well and just recognize to Jesus, Jesus, this morning I want to really give my heart to you. Is there any such person here this morning? I see. Thank you. Now, if you've raised your hand this morning, I want to ask you to quickly come to the front. Just don't be afraid. Don't look at the people around you, because Mary did not look. She followed Christ, you know, and just got onto His agenda. If you've raised your hand, just quickly come to the front. We're going to pray with you this morning. This is a memorial stone between you and God. Okay, I want to just encourage you. It's not about even who prays for you in front. I want to encourage you to come to the front just to recognize to Jesus, Jesus, the pendulum is swinging in my life. I want to restore that close relationship with you. There were some more hands. Just don't be afraid. Just quickly come to the front. Even if you're a leader in this church, Mary was a leader in the sphere of things. As the communion is busy going around, I want to just ask the ushers to give out the communion. Because we're going to commune together this morning. We're going to pray and trust God for wonderful things to happen. If you are not here in front, I want you to pray for the people here in front, but also pray to God that He will restore that relationship to you. As they will be handing out, and we'll be praying here in front with the people. If there's some facilitators that can come and help, please do so. Just wait for a few moments while they're busy handing out the communion. Can I get one of the band members just here on stage so that we can maybe just play some background music? Thanks. Jesus, we thank you for your bread of life. And this morning, as we commune with you, as we spend some time with you, we recognize that we want to be in your perfect will. Father, may this morning be a memorial stone in our lives, Father, of consecration and focus onto your agenda. Thank you that you died for us on the cross. That Jesus, we can remind ourselves of your goodness and your mercy. And Father, that we can commune with you because you love us. Because Father God, you want to experience the relationship with your people. And this morning we just ask that as we eat your body, Jesus, we remind ourselves of being in the bigger body of Christ, that we can focus on the agenda that is much bigger than Shofar Church or me individually, but oh God, that you have a plan and a destiny, Father, for each one of us to pursue. And this morning we celebrate that as we eat together, we pray that you will be here with us and that you will remind us of the things that's on your heart. In Jesus' name, let us eat together. Thank you for the blood, Jesus. Thank you this morning that we can drink your blood because you have set us free. You've given us the opportunity to not even bring an unblemished lamb, but we can bring our lives unto you as a living sacrifice. And this morning we put it on the table and we say, God, do with us as you please. We love you, we love you, we love you. Let us truly experience the heart of the worshiper, the heart which you placed in Mary, to understand your will and to fulfill that clearly. Thank you that we are in covenant with you and that we are blood brothers, Father God, because we engage into your eternal purpose for our lives. In Jesus' name, let us drink together.